I'm one of the elders here. It's good to have each and every one of you with us today as we continue our series in the book of Proverbs. If you remember, over the last couple weeks, we've come to know that there are two voices calling out to us. The first voice is the voice of folly. The voice of folly says, enticing sinners, come with us. Let's love what we love. Let's do what we do. Come with us. And yet, last week we saw the voice of wisdom as well, a contrasting voice that calls out to us and then promises us, whoever listens to me will dwell secure. So the question again today that we're asking ourselves is, who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Are we listening to the voice of folly, or are we listening to wisdom? And I wonder if many of us today aren't quite sure. We haven't made a decision yet. Which voice sounds a little sweeter in our ears? We're trying to figure out which voice we will listen to and then walk according to. And so today, we dive into Proverbs chapter 2. So grab your Bibles. We're going to read it. Proverbs chapter 2. And as we think of this idea of listening, we see that it extends this morning and expands. And we wonder this morning, as we hear wisdom's call, what makes wisdom worth listening to? What makes the wisdom of God worth listening to? I often say to myself and others, at the end of the day, in this life, we're just going to do what we want to do, right? We're driven by desire. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to listen to whom we want to listen to. We will seek after that which we find to be the most valuable. So it's important for us to understand the value of wisdom if we're ever going to truly listen to the voice of wisdom. Amen? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is the word of the Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we desperately need you to speak to us, forever to hear your voice and understand the value of what you reveal to us. We need your Spirit at work in us, and we ask that that would happen now. Speak to us, change us, show us the value of your wisdom, and inspire us today to pursue it with all that we are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I look like I'm 17, but I'm actually coming up on 27 years of marriage. Yep. It's crazy. We've been parenting 22 years together. Life is busier than it's ever been. It's crazy. But I'll say that as we age together and go through different seasons of life together, the things that we want, the things that matter to us, the things that we value, truly yearn for and pray for and seek to see happen with our lives is getting simpler. Less things matter. What we want more than anything else for our daughters and our son, we want them to listen to our counsel, hear what we have to say about Jesus. We want them to see and understand and know Christ. We want them to love God, the God that we love. We want to see them love Him. We want to see them value Him as we have strived to value Him. We want our kids to live in a way that honors the Lord, right? We understand the world that we live in all the vulnerabilities and temptations that exist, and all the things that we've ever wanted and went after in our 27 years together. More and more, it's really just about that. Seeing those that we love, love the Lord, value the Lord, hear and respond to the Lord. Forget money, forget success, forget stature in the world. All that stuff is fleeting. In the end, it does not matter. We want our kids to know Christ, to love His wisdom, to seek it. Many of you parents know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And if we've forgotten that, as we have over the years, it's a good reminder and corrective of what really matters. And as we open up chapter 2 here, you get a sense that Solomon is processing similar things, right? Solomon is fathering his son here. Don't miss that phrase, very important phrase, two words really. He says, my son. Solomon is addressing his son, someone he loves, someone that's very important to him. He is fathering his son. That's what he's doing. Such parental love, affection, and concern. Right? We're about to read what Solomon is saying, but I want us to engage with it as we listen with the right understanding of the tone in the atmosphere of this particular passage. It's going to be like other passages that are coming in the weeks ahead. There is a parental love and affection that exists around these particular teachings and instructions. There's care. There's clarity. Solomon's just being a good dad. He knows what's most important, and he wants to shape that in his son. But I want you to understand, this is not written only for the son of Solomon. This is written for us. And in some ways, Solomon is fathering us. And we should see ourselves in that way this morning. Particularly those who embrace Christ by faith should see yourselves as sons and daughters of the living God. And in this moment, the Father is speaking to us. You could say that as we look to Solomon's words to his son, that we listen in and get a picture of, that really it's the Father that is speaking to his children now. Do you see yourself as that? In this moment, your Father is speaking to you as a son or daughter of the living God. It's in many ways insight into how wonderful and beautiful the church is. So we have a saint fathering us, and it's really the Father fathering us through the saint. I don't know about you, but that's been very much central to my story, right? Central to my story has been a church and men within the church that have come alongside me and fathered me, and brothers as well who've brothered me, a family, sisters who have familied me. What I'm trying to say is this is how the Father works his love and affection into our lives through the godly voices of those in the church. And so look around. You who maybe have disconnection from Father and disconnection from family, look around. What you have in this room is a beautiful picture of the saints, the family of God, all fathered by God the Father. Amen? And in this moment, the Father is speaking to us. You wonder, does God love me? Does he care? Where is he? He seems so absent and distant. I'm telling you right now, in this moment, the Father is speaking directly to you. He wants you to hear his voice. No matter how old you are, no matter how much money you have in the bank, how successful you are, in your own eyes or in the eyes of others, right now, you matter to the Father. He's speaking to you. And he wants to reveal his wisdom through the words of Solomon. And so what do we say? What does Solomon say? Well, we see that Solomon is holding out for us a series of inspiring conditions. He's laying down a conditional statement. You know, we use them all the time, right? If you shower, then you will not smell. Right? Just a basic life thing. You say, I'm struggling. I smell. Well, maybe if you showered, it would help, right? Or how about this? If you spend more money than you make, then you will be in debt. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? If I set my alarm before I go to bed, then I will make it to work on time, right? We use these conditional statements all the time in conversation. Well, what we have here is Solomon, less silly and more positive, is laying a condition. You see in verses 1 through 4, if you receive my words, by implication, if you treasure up my commandments with you, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you are inclining your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight, if you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, if you search for it as for hidden treasures. Eight statements. In many ways, four parallel statements to really get at one thing. If you pursue wisdom with all that you are. There's a lot of connected parallel statements in those conditions. You see, he's connecting the mind to the heart. In some ways, we see this listening life that we talked about last week is one that is both of hearing and receiving in the opening verses, right? We're listening, and now we're called, if we're receiving, if we're treasuring, if we're making our ear attentive to it. But then he's also saying, if you call out, if you raise your voice. So the pursuit of wisdom, the attainment of wisdom, is not just a listening venture, but it's also a speaking venture. Calling out for wisdom. If you call out for it, if you raise your voice for understanding. Again, the implication is easily summarized as this. If you pursue God's wisdom with all that you are, and by implication, that's the command for us today. To pursue wisdom, to pursue God's wisdom with all that we are. I don't know what you are pursuing primarily in your life. I don't know what you're going after or wanting. Well, I can tell you what, it is based on what you value. It's based on what you see as desirable, effective, helpful. You're going after that. And he's saying this, pursue wisdom with all that you are. And all the things that you're pursuing, please put at the forefront, make primary the pursuit of the wisdom of God. And we move forward to see why. But as we think about the condition, let's keep in the forefront the precondition. You say, what are you talking about? We're called to pursue that which has already pursued us. That's the precondition. There'll be no pursuing of wisdom, the wisdom of God, if we've not already been pursued. But we understand in the first couple chapters that that's exactly what's taking place. You've being pursued by the God of wisdom and now are called to pursue the wisdom of God. Wisdom's crying out. Wisdom raises her voice. You are being pursued by the God of wisdom. If you've never heard, you would have never called out. But the wonderful news is, wisdom is crying out. By the Spirit, through the Word, in Christ Jesus, God is pursuing you. And now he's calling upon each and every one of you to pursue him. We love because why? He first loved us. Wisdom pursued us. Now what? We pursue wisdom with all that we are. So we have good reason to pursue wisdom because wisdom in God, in Christ, has pursued us. And the emphasis in this passage is seen now in verse 4. There's going to be a shift here. If you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. Right there, he gets at the value of it. He's pointing his son, he's pointing us to the value of the wisdom of God. If you seek it, if you see the value of it, if you see it as a hidden treasure, then go after it with all that you are. And that's an important thing to think about today. And I think it's the crux of what's happening. Our pursuing of wisdom is driven by our valuing of wisdom. So I'm telling you right now, are you listening to the voice of wisdom? Are you attentive to what God is saying in your life? Or are you engaged in selective listening? You don't want to listen because you don't value it. There's something else that you want. There's some greater value in your life that you're pursuing. The degree that we value God's wisdom will drive the intensity in which we pursue God's wisdom. So as we hear these two voices, as we consider which path to follow, what God we're going to worship, we wonder, is the pursuit of God's wisdom worth it? Is that a fair question this morning? Is the pursuit of God's wisdom in your life, to make it primary, to set aside all other pursuits to the left or to the right or put behind you and say, I'm going after God and his wisdom. That's what I'm pursuing in this life. You're only going to do that if it's worth it. Is it worth it? Solomon today is saying this. Our pursuit of God's wisdom with all that we are is well worth it. It's well worth it. And Solomon gives us four reasons to value wisdom today in such a way to inspire us to pursue it with all that we are. Four reasons. Number one, we see in verse 5. If you do these things, if you pursue wisdom with all that you are, then verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We were told in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now we see that if we pursue wisdom with all that we are, there's great assurance held out for us. We will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. To summarize that, this means that we will come to the knowledge of God. We will know the Lord. And that word knowledge, to know, is a very important word in the Scriptures. It's not information, friend. It's transformation. It's not just knowledge in the mind. It's personal, experiential knowledge of God. If you are truly pursuing and going after an increased knowledge of God, you're pursuing wisdom. But if you're going after wisdom, we're told this wonderful gift is ours. We come to a deeper knowledge of God. It's personal, experiential. It's like what Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God. Knowledge, connection, relationship, the pursuit of wisdom puts forward to us today the greatest value you could ever consider, to come to know personally, according to covenant, according to his mercy and love, to come to know the God that has made you and has saved you in his son, Jesus Christ. Friend, we are primarily not about just religion, external religion, that the gospel offers to us a relationship with Almighty God, saying if you pursue wisdom with all that you are, that it will lead you to and increase your knowledge of God. Do you want to know God? Pursue wisdom. You want to know wisdom? Pursue God. Does that sound valuable to you this morning? Is there anything more the world could offer you of greater value than simply what God offers to you today? To know him. To be found in him. And as we come to know the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God, this means that the Lord will provide for us an ability to see and embrace reality for what it really is, to discern the fear of the Lord. That word discern, to know, is just to be able to distinguish between one and another. No, this is the fear of the Lord. No, that is not the fear of the Lord. This is what it means to know and follow God. No, that is not what it means. Because there's such confusion in our lives and in the world about what that means. He's saying, if you're pursuing true wisdom of God, you're going to be able to distinguish those things. It's very important. John Kitchen says, when one truly seeks wisdom, he will find God. And when one seeks God, he will gain wisdom. Amen? That's a good summary of what we see here. You'll gain wisdom from God. Why? Because, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Friend, if you're looking for wisdom, there is only one well from which you must draw. The Lord, the God of the Scriptures. And you see his gracious goodness. Say, you seek for it. Come to the well and you draw from the well, you will find it. You know why? Because he will give it. The Lord will give it. He is the well of wisdom. And we find, from where is this well found? It's right here. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It is the word of God upon which we live and feast, that we're fed. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are sustained, and God gives us wisdom, and he does so in the word. Again, the degree that you're engaging the word of God, praying through the word of God by faith, not just rotely externally, but we are approaching the word of God, dependent on the Spirit to speak to us and show us who he is. That's where the Lord gives it. This is the way in which God dispenses his wisdom to us. And so he's calling us, I want to give you wisdom. Read my word. Meditate on my word. Memorize my word. Talk about my word with others. This is where you find wisdom. He's a storehouse. He stores up this wisdom for the upright. Imagine the infinite storehouse of God's wisdom is now available to his people, for those who see that he's the well and come and daily, continually draw near and drink from it. So friend, do you need wisdom? You're looking for wisdom? Look to Christ. Ask the Father. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Seek him in the word. Pursue wisdom with all that you are, for it leads you to the knowledge of God. Amen. Number two, We value wisdom. We pursue wisdom with all that we are because wisdom promotes in us an ethical faithfulness. We may be wondering, what do I do in this particular situation? I'm faced with a decision. There's an ethical dilemma that I can't figure out. The scriptures don't seem to speak so accurately and clearly about it, black and white. I don't know what the Christian thing to do is. I don't know what is morally right. I don't know what is righteous. I don't know what is equitable. I don't know what is just in this situation. I need the Lord's wisdom. And so we pursue it with all we are. And the wonderful thing is that God reassures us that as we face those situations in our lives, the verse 9 says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Right? Those three character qualities were brought up in chapter 1, verse 3. Those three qualities are inherently in the nature of God. God is the one who is righteous. God is the one that is just. God is the one that is full of equity. And when we say that, we're saying that righteousness is this, that it refers to the ethical and moral measuring rod of God's own character. Justice is the perfect rule of God over his creation and is used of correct judgment used in interpersonal human relationships. Equity is that impartial and fair care of God over all that he has made. Friend, the world in which we live and even the church in which we worship is longing for clarity of what it means to be righteous as a follower of Jesus in 2026. What is true justice? What is equity in our world? We've looked to so many places to help us clarify and define what it is. But friend, for us to truly understand righteousness, justice, and equity, we can only look to one place in the nature and the being of our God as revealed in the Word of God. So if you're looking for that, he's saying, pursue me. Know me. Read my word. Consider the implications of these things. Because the wonderful thing that we see is that this pursuit and attainment of wisdom enables us to exhibit these qualities in our lives, right? You will understand these things. Not just up here, but you'll understand and come to know who God is as righteous and just and equitable. And then those particular qualities will become yours. For wisdom will come into your heart. God is transforming who we are from the inside out, amen? It enables us to live in a way that honors and exemplifies the Lord in our lives. Friend, if you're here today making excuses for how you're living, you're redefining righteousness and morality, think again. Hear the word of the Lord, who calls you to wisdom, who says, pursue me. See what righteousness really is. Find justice in me. Understand what is fair and good in me. And I'll work that into you. And that will bring pleasantness to your soul. That's what we long for. We know there's such unpleasant things in our world and in our hearts. We long for wisdom. We long to know and understand, what does it mean to be the people of God that are righteous and just and equitable in our world? What does that mean? When we seek the Lord, he's saying, if you seek me, you pursue me with all that you are, and you look to me in the scriptures, and you see me in the revelation of my son, Jesus Christ, I'm going to put this in you. I'm going to help you understand. And you're going to more and more accurately embody who I am to demonstrate my goodness to the world. Is that not what we want to be, church, to the world? A demonstration of the goodness and nature of our God to bear witness to his name? That's why we pursue wisdom with all that we are. Because wisdom has the value that enables us to see it. Moving on. Number three, wisdom protects you from unfaithfulness that leads to death. That's a big one. Wisdom protects you from an unfaithfulness that leads to death. There is a lot going on in verses 11 through 19, friend. For the sake of time and your joy, I must summarize. It's getting hotter in here by the second. Folly and sin is dangerous. And the voice of folly calls out to us and is saying, come with us. Pursue these things. But that way leads us to destruction. We see these evil men, perverted speech. We see this forbidden woman. Men and women from every side and angle that represent this folly that leads to destruction, that promotes unfaithfulness. He's saying, if you pursue me, that my wisdom will protect you from this, from these dangers, from these temptations. It will watch over you. It'll guard you, deliver you from the way of evil. You'll be guarded from evil men of perverted speech who walk in darkness, who rejoice in evil, who live in crooked paths. You'll be guarded from the forbidden woman, the adulteress who has smooth words, who forsakes her companion and forgets the covenant. Friends, what I'm trying to say is Solomon understands that there are peeps trying to get us. And we have a flesh in our heart that wants to get got. Am I right? Am I overstating it, or do you know exactly what I'm talking about? We hear the voices, but somehow that forbidden woman, that man of perverted speech, that voice sounds a little better in the moment. You know what I'm talking about? Saying, listen, if you have a listening life, if you're pursuing my wisdom with all that you are, you can be rest assured that I will protect you. I will watch over you. I will guard you. I will deliver you from that. And that's gospel for us this morning. It's good news that our God supplies what we need to face every temptation, to fend off these voices that call us to folly. And again, I wonder if many of us struggle because we do a very bad job at tracing the steps of where the voice of folly is calling us and where it will ultimately lead us. We make decisions in the short and other all the time. This isn't a big deal. No biggie. But we're not thinking about the years and months and decades of the long-term effects that heeding that voice will have in our lives. And the ultimate effect of a life of rebellion and rejection of the wisdom of God, where that will lead us. He's saying, if you pursue me, I'll protect you from that. I'll watch over you. And while folly may lead you to death, I will keep you from that way. So are you listening today? Do you see the value of wisdom? Don't miss it. Don't miss the value of wisdom. And ultimately, we see verse 20 and 22. Again, I'm trying to be sensitive to time here. We see a fourth reason that we can value wisdom is that wisdom leads you on a path to everlasting life. A contrast from the third, right? Wisdom protects us, but it also leads us and guides us. Verse 20 to 22. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Wisdom has a sustaining impact on our lives. Wisdom directs us and guides us, and wisdom leads us. It sustains us. As we pursue the wisdom of God, it does what only it can do. Keep us on the path of the righteous. Right? We sang that song. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me. How does he hold us fast? He does so by his grace as he pursues a wisdom that we seek after as if it is treasure. Treasure. He says, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Friend, if you pursue God's wisdom, ultimately, he will lead you to a place he's prepared for you. Right? Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you. We are headed to heaven in Christ Jesus. That this life is not the only life there is. That there's another life. And that as we pursue wisdom with all that we are sustained and kept. As we're called to persevere in the faith, we're told that we are kept. We are preserved as we persevere. And as the Lord imparts to us wisdom from his word, wisdom in Christ, we are given that assurance that this wisdom will provide what only it can provide, everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? The Lord is preparing a place for you. There's another place that we do not want to go. The place that folly leads us to. But the wicked will be cut off from the land. The treacherous will be rooted out of it. Friend, folly provides no lasting inheritance for those who practice it. Understand that. If you willingly, voluntarily, submissively, joyfully continue to walk in rebellion and ignoring of the voice of wisdom, namely Christ himself, all that he's done, all that he's accomplished for you on a cross for your sins, if you continue to neglect that, ignore that, disregard it as silliness and irrelevant for your life, that there is another place in which will be reserved for you. And as we've said, it is a place of, that is prepared justly. Justly. Again, you'll get exactly what you want, an eternity and an existence apart from God. You live your whole life that way because you want that. That's exactly what you get at the end of the road of folly. There's no place or right to the kingdom of God for those who do not listen to the voice of wisdom. But wisdom, the value of it is seen, and then it leads us to everlasting life. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if you're here today and you've never placed your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, never seen him as God, the fullness of God's wisdom, which is foolishness to the world, but today you see now the wisdom of God in Christ, please rest assured that that end is everlasting life, that Christ will provide that for all of his people. And friend, that's what wisdom leads us to. God calls us to pursue wisdom with all that we are. Are you doing that today? Is that the primary focus of your life? Is that what you see as most valuable and treasured in your life? God, knowing him, having his wisdom, knowing the one who is righteous and just and equitable, and then being transformed by his spirit according to his word in such a way that you're increasingly becoming that as well. That you're living in the joy and delight and peace of being protected by wisdom from the devastating and destructive impact of folly. You're living in the hope of eternal life. In some ways, that's one thing I did not emphasize that I'll end on. There is so much hope for us in wisdom. You say, what's the value of wisdom? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to listen to the voice of wisdom, to pursue it with all that I am? Is it truly worth it? Friend, There is so much hope that we have in wisdom. The world offers us false temporal hopes, but the God of the Scriptures offers us an eternal, everlasting hope in His wonderful and reassuring promises. There's like 9 statements here. If you do this, then wisdom will. There's so many wills. Laying out for us a hopeful future. Putting before us not just the condition, but also the fruit of living into that condition. If you're looking for hope today of a better life, a better future that is rooted and protected in God, in Christ Jesus, look to wisdom, look to the Word, look to Christ Jesus, and you will have wonderful hope. Such anticipation of good. What I'm trying to tell you today is that unlike any other thing, wisdom is worth pursuing. What do you think? Is it worth it? It all depends on what the Spirit of God's doing in your heart right now. And it's my prayer that He continues to open your eyes and open your heart to see the value, the incomparable value of wisdom more than anything else. The incomparable value of Christ beyond anything else. And to continue or even begin to orient the posture and the pathway of your life to the greatest hope there is, life with Christ in His everlasting kingdom. Our pursuit of wisdom with all that we are, it's well worth it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give You praise. There's a lot here in Your Word. There's so much more that could have been said, maybe less could have been said about certain things, Lord, but in this moment, we just sit at Your feet. And we rest in Your provision. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would apply these words to the hearts of everyone in this room. Give us a love for wisdom, a love for You and Your Word, and give us all the hope that comes with it, namely the Christ that fully embodies it. We pray this in His name. Amen.